I was rather excited today to look here behind the stage and see all the balloons and just a time of great celebration. Adds a little extra to the messages that are going to be given today. Thank you for Mr. Hill picking out songs that are very cheerful, rejoicing. Of course, we're told to do that during the feast. Today, I'm going to do a little different focus than I usually do. I'm usually quite literal and go to facts, but I'm going to get a little more involved in the emotion of this day. When we read through the Bible and search out God's plan of salvation, we see his plan out in this. We see it explained in the Sabbath. We also see it explained in the holy days. This is God's family planning. Today is family day. And so there should be great rejoicing and excitement in it. Think about how you could add to that by adding a little more of that rejoicing to it. You are part of God's family if you are married and you have children, no doubt. You are also a part of the family of God if you are single. You are all in this as a family, all of us here together. We're all in this, especially on the family day at the feast. Even the children and teens are part of this family at the feast. Can't leave them out, that's for sure. We see in the family of God, no one is left out, and that is what is so great about God's plan of salvation. The holy days are first outlined in the Old Testament through Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you've probably had your study in going through those and have been excited as you're coming here to the feast and want to enjoy all that's involved in it. Well, in these books that I've explained, these books tell us the specifics of when these holy days are to be kept. We know the day, the month, of this particular year. In fact, after we came out of services on that opening night, there was that big moon that we always see. Fantastic. Interestingly enough, several years ago, I came to find out that the Psalms give us additional information on the holy days. And I found it very inspiring to add to what I already knew. In fact, Psalms is divided into five books. Mr. Sexton actually touched on one of those books as he was talking about what Jesus Christ went through in preparing for the Passover and the sacrifice that ensued. And we find that he was talking in the first book. The first book of Psalms is chapter 1 through 42, inclusive of that time. You'll have information given to you about the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. The fourth book of Psalms starts with Psalms 90, and that really focuses on the Feast of Tabernacles, what we're going through. It starts in chapter 90 and goes to chapter 106. And the fourth book of Psalms refers to the time period of the millennium. You'll find verses interspersed throughout that chapter. Chapters 90 and 91 deal with events just prior to the millennium. And we find that these are recorded from Moses' original text that David put in there. It is amazing how much insight Moses had about God's plan of salvation. We'll start here in Psalms 52. In Psalms 52, we find that the millennium has begun, the saints have been resurrected, and they participate in that final battle. So what is the mindset when all of this occurred? This has been done away with. We are starting the millennium. What is the mindset? Well, the Psalms, this fourth book of Psalms, brings out some of what God commands. Cheerfulness, rejoicing, we'll find as we read through these verses. Starting here in Psalms 92 and verse 1, if you'll follow along with me, it starts us on this journey talking about the millennium. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Yes, after all that has occurred, and the millennium is beginning, Yes, thanks will be given to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to sing praises unto the name of O Most High. So in this, not just praying and giving thanks, but also music is going to be with this. Would not this be the attitude of the saints as they have just witnessed themselves being resurrected? Satan and his demons are withheld from the earth at this time. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Someone is going to take over the rule of this earth that is fantastic. And there's going to be great joy over that. And we know that he is going to be reigning here on this earth. He has defeated the beast power. No matter what they have tried to put together to defeat Jesus Christ, he has defeated them. He has defeated the false prophet and the rest of the armies of the earth that had tried to defeat him. They are gone. Evil is gone. Great victory has happened that we find in the Bible as we read through many different verses, and especially in Revelation. We're going to start out here in Psalms 92. If you'll follow along with me, we'll start in verse 2. See some of the insight, the attitude that is here. And if you can pick up on that, we could probably even apply that today to Family Day. Think as you go through this day, how can I add cheerfulness, rejoicing to it in this family day that we are having happen here? So we find in verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and faithfulness every night. So God's plan of salvation has occurred as planned. From the beginning of the foundation of the earth, he has planned it, and it is occurring. God the Father and Jesus Christ have carried this plan out in loving kindness. So verse 2 tells us, yes, God the Father, the one who has drawn us to the Word, has created a very important family relationship. We see it today. It'll be even magnified more and expanded to the people that live on the earth during the millennium. So it is seen in the entirety of every day and night. Both God the Father and Jesus Christ have been faithful to this family plan. If you will, 24/7, this will be applied and will be done. We'll go on to verse 3. Upon an instrument of 10 strings. So not only is there singing, but instruments are added to this. We know that if we're just singing a cappella here, it's not as great as when we have the pianist or the other instruments that are playing along. It adds to the joyfulness and the cheerfulness of God's Feast of Tabernacles. So we see here that, upon an instrument of 10 strings in verse 3, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. You may think that's a little low key there, but the word originally means harmonious, blending together, adding to all that people are doing, singing, rejoicing at this time. As if the singing of praise was not enough, and yes, it will be an example that will be done, greater joy and thanksgiving is shown through the musical instruments. Great emotion will be shown in our singing, but also in the musical instruments that are played and added to that. Now, I'd like to ask, how many young people under 18 actually play a musical instrument? Raise your hand if you could. Yes, we got a few of them. Yes. I am sure that children during the millennium will be adding to the musical instruments that are played and the songs that are played. How many adults here have an ability to play an instrument? Raise your hand if you can. Wow. There are many people there that have great talent. Think of yourself adding to all that is going to be done in the millennium. People will be singing, rejoicing, and you will add to that by your musical instrument talents. You will have a part in joy and thanksgiving giving for God's kingdom being ushered in, and the reign and rule of evil will have ended for 1,000 years. Verse 4, we'll continue on here in Psalms 92. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Another expression of joy and happiness. You made me glad through your work, all that you've done. You know, at times we may say, well, I just don't know how this is going to work out. But here we are going to see the end results. Joy and happiness. People will be glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works, as we read in verse 5, and your thoughts are very deep. Even as resurrected saints, the victory and the triumph could only be done by God the Father and Jesus Christ, and of course the angels with them. God the Father and Jesus Christ have held true to their plan of salvation. We are asked to rejoice at every feast, but the rejoicing I feel that happens when that actually comes into reality will be greater than probably anything we can express physically. Most of the world thinks that God is insensitive, if he truly exists, if they truly believe that he exists. And if he exists, they have this concept that he is very harsh. Kind of takes away from the rejoicing when you have this concept, isn't it? But God is very merciful, and he tells us how mankind thinks is not how he thinks. We know from Isaiah 55 and verse 8, I will just read that for you there as I quote from it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. People will see that as they go into the millennium. We can think about that, how we need to have the thinking process as God the Father and Jesus Christ has. We truly as Christians must realize this and strive to be at one with God. This will grow even as we are resurrected sons of God. I just don't think that it will stop. Continual learning, continual appreciation for what God has done. So what does all of this look like? God did not make us all to be yellow pencils. Each and every one of us, as we meet one another, we know we're different. We have different attributes, different talents. And God likes that. He likes variety. But he wants us all to have a mastery of our mind. No matter how many children are in your family, they're probably not alike. Different personalities, different likes, different abilities. You know, as your hands were raised up, I can't play a musical instrument, but some of you are very adept at that. So God likes variety. No matter how many children are in your family, you are not all alike in looks, personality, and talents. Each one is different. But the unity of all of God's family is in our conformity to his law, his thinking. Yes, God's plan of salvation centers around our mind. Conformity to God's way of life. That oneness happens. We'll continue on here in Psalms 92, and we'll go on to verse 7, going back to Psalms. When the wicked spring as the grass, and surely we see a lot of that today, don't we? And when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, and we see a lot of that today, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Now, I'll put a little caveat in there. If they repent, if they turn to God, yes, that can be stopped. But God does not put up with evil and sin. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. So those that sin and do not repent will be destroyed forever. It is a principle of God's law. We know it is found in Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. The soul that sins, it shall die. So the saints have just witnessed the false prophet and the beast power being destroyed. Gone. Non-existent. Non-existent. All armies who have defied Jesus are destroyed. On the other hand, those who follow God will flourish. We'll find this in Psalms 92, verse 13, as we continue through this fourth book of Psalms. Psalms 92, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, and truly that is what is going to happen during the millennium, shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. This is true of the physical people that will be in the millennium, but I think there's still an expansion of knowledge and understanding growing, still bearing fruit even for the resurrected saints. So God helped us and is helping us in our physical flesh. And today we're looked at as ambassadors. As we bump into people in the world, even people in the congregation, we will continue to learn, I believe, and to grow even as resurrected saints. We will see families be strong in the millennium. We're going to strive to help that happen. So even today, we want to make our family stronger on this family day. Keep this in mind, brethren. As you're going about doing the activities that you're doing, how can I make my family stronger on this family day? Let's go on to Psalms 93 and verse 1. It tells us here, the Lord reigns. No one else reigns. This has been done by making Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we find that that title is given to him in Revelation 19. Also, all adversaries have been put away or killed, and Jesus is unshakable at this point. Cannot be taken away from this position. No vote, nothing can happen to take him from this position. Jesus is going to make this earth great again. You think about the time of the Garden of Eden. This is going to be beauty that is going to come on the scene. Isaiah 2 and verse 2, we'll jump here a little bit from the Psalms, but we'll see this given here. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, will be seen for all to view, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Here we see a fantastic change of heart in the mind of men on this earth. People are willing to learn the ways of God. They will hear what is going on in Jerusalem, and the word will spread, and people will come unto Jerusalem to partake of it. They're hearing of goodness, you know, and joy and peace and harmony and expansion of God's way. They'll want to be a part of that. How do we do that? Verse 3, and many people, and I'll just say families, shall go and say, come you, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let's jump back here to Psalms 95, and we'll start in verse 1. We see that at the heading of this chapter in my King James, it says, this is a call to worship and obedience. Worship and obedience have to go together in this. So we start out here in verse 1, Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise. Instructions that are given for us during the Feast of Tabernacles here as the millennium begins. Yes, this is instituted. It is done. A joyful noise unto him with psalms. Maybe even new songs that are written. So great singing and rejoicing over the reign and rule of Jesus Christ will occur. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. Yes, there have been gods in this world that people have turned to. None of the gods of this world can measure up to what God the Father and Jesus Christ have done and are doing during the millennium. Verse 4. And this is how expansive it is, what God the Father and Jesus Christ are going to be doing. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of hills is also his. It does not matter, brethren. Does not matter how high the mountain, how deep the ocean, the lowest point in the ocean, Jesus is going to reign over all. Great rejoicing is going to come through that. A dramatic change we know will happen in the animals and the fishes of the sea. Great change will come to their nature. In fact, all that has occurred through the bowl plagues and the trumpet plagues, probably not many animals, not many fishes. God will recreate them, and they will have this beautiful nature that God intended. So great rejoicing will happen as we see children able to play with any animal and not be harmed, not be harmed. Quite different than what we have today. You know, children, can you imagine being able to play with any animal and not be harmed? Whatever your choice would be. We find then in Isaiah 11, verse 6, one we read quite frequently during the feast, because it shows us these natures that have been changed. And so we see here in Isaiah 11, verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, not quite normal as we have today, is it? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You wouldn't think that would be the choice of who would lead them, but this is how the nature would be changed in these animals. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaning child shall put his hand in the viper's den. No harm is going to happen to them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters of the sea. Let's continue on in Psalms. Psalms, we'll go to verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Some more of this rejoicing that we see here through that. Worshiping and bowing down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. As we see a dramatic change in the world, a new government, new natures in the creation, increased understanding for God's people. The resurrected saints and the people left on this earth will have a change of heart. Both of us will be helped. They will be given God's Holy Spirit, the people here on the earth, the physical people. And all that we have seen and been talking about, it is going to be, brethren, a contagious paradise. When you see people that are happy, the nature's changed, the animals change, the government change, it will be a contagious paradise. Psalms 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord, or to the Eternal, a new song. New songs to be made, to be sung, to give glory to God and Jesus Christ. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless, or it means to give praise to his name. Show or proclaim forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen. Can't just keep this to yourself. You're going to declare it to others. And you're going to cause a change in others. And as us as spirit beings will be that voice behind them to help them. And we'll see a change, kind of different than what we see today when we try to give people God's word. It doesn't always set as well. But here in God's millennium, a great change is going to happen. For the Lord is great, verse 4. Let me back up here. I missed a verse. I don't want to leave anything out. Verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared. It means to be held in awe, not to be shaking and fearful, but to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the nations, my King James says, are, but were idols. But the Lord made the heavens and not false gods. Verse 6, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Not ugliness, not grotesqueness that we see sometimes in this world. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due, deserved. Yes, God the Father and Jesus Christ deserve this. Unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. Jesus the Messiah will be seen. His righteousness and judgment will be vividly seen and be expressed through the people that are there and through the resurrected saints that will be in existence. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And here we see this fear word again, but it's better stated. He is held in awe. Beauty of holiness, held in awe before him. All the earth, say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. Great rejoicing over a leader that is bringing goodness to this earth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Not like this world's judgment, if you've ever been in the court system. Righteous judgment will be done. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. What does that mean? Crops that grow abundantly, that have great produce that come from them, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord. They'll be beautiful, green, producing whatever fruit comes on them, whether it's an acorn, whether it's an apple, a pear, or whatever. They shall show forth this rejoicing too. For he cometh, or we would say for that time, he has come to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So judging the world is part of Jesus' job. As the dust has settled, he will turn this world around. As the word of what is going on in Jerusalem spreads, families, think about that today, will seek to see what it is. Not the rebellions of this earth as we saw during the trumpet plagues and the bowl plagues. When you read through those times of the trumpet plagues and the bowl plagues, no one responds. It's expressed several times in Revelation. No one responds. Let's look here in Isaiah 2. We'll go back here again, but we'll turn to verse 4. One of our last verses here as we're going through this fourth book of Psalms. But here are some more that we can see during the millennium that will bring great rejoicing. Isaiah 2 and verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, just as we have been talking about, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation during this 1,000 years. Neither shall he learn war anymore. We can find out the same information in Micah 4. I won't turn there. So what have we seen today as we have gone through some of the fourth book of Psalms? It will be a dramatic change of government on this earth. The world will be judged fairly, not unfairly. The creation will have its nature changed, bringing joy and rejoicing. As I was thinking of this, the Bible doesn't really say, but I wonder if poisonous plants and things that can cause harm to us, you know, poison ivy and various things that can be poisonous, I kind of think God will change those too. That's my summation, my guess. If he's going to change everything else, no harm is to be in the earth, I think that would be changed too. There will be great rejoicing and singing and playing of musical instruments and giving praise to God for his kingdom, for his families that he is developing. And as I said, I think it is going to be an atmosphere of contagious paradise. People will want to be a part of this as they see what is going on and what the effect is. People will flow into Jerusalem to take part in this transformation. Brethren, the fourth book of Psalms gives additional information on the coming kingdom of God. I wanted to express to you some of the rejoicing, some of all that is going to go on in God's kingdom. It is going to be a cheerful time. Think about this today as you go through the family day and whatever you do. What can I do to add rejoicing, cheerfulness, give praise to God, helping in your family, helping others that you see have needs, and you can fulfill that? Brethren, have a happy family day.